Okay. I'm gonna do like that little Indian lady down there when she comes up for the sing. They don't care. They'll give her the microphone, and she goes, blows on it every time. Book of Acts, chapter number 8 or 9, excuse me. I know it's brief. I want to be as brief as I can, but hopefully, it'll be a blessing to you. I'm just like the brother said about speaking northeastern. You know, if y'all forgive me if I start speaking in Spanish. So it's the first time I preach publicly in English. So y'all pray for me. He says right here in verse number 15, says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." I'd like to talk a little bit about the making of an instrument. Amen. The making of an instrument. Amen. You know, to make an instrument, you have to have, first of all, a master that knows how to make the instrument.
Yep.
The book of Psalms, chapter number 1 and verse number 3, says right there that we have a master, we have a maker that knows how to make that instrument. Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 100, excuse me, verse number 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us,
yes,
and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture."
Amen. Amen.
He has made us. He's our master.
That's right.
He's made us. And, you know, I got to, things catch my eyes, and I love to study and love to see things. And I got thinking about how they make, pianos. Mm-hmm. And so I got looking on the YouTube and saw how they make these grand pianos, you know, these concert pianists and things like that, how they make the pianos. And so some things jumped out at me about the making of the piano. First, you always have to have a master that knows how to make the instrument. And those pianos are beautiful and very expensive and produce a great and beautiful sound, but they have to have a master that knows how to make the instrument.
Amen.
And second of all, you have to have the instrument has to be in the mind of that master. Verse Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 says that we are in the mind of our God.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Think all the years I've been preaching, I wouldn't be nervous, but I am. So y'all bear with me. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." We were in the mind of our God. And we know the story of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. And God said, don't say that. Before you were born, I formed you. In the womb, I formed you. And so the instrument has to be in the mind of the great master.
Yes,
that makes the pianos. And oh, I tell you right now, or any instrument, it could be a guitar, harps, or whatever it may be, the instrument is in the mind of the master.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad that, hey, when I was born back in 1957, and born down in Georgia there, in the lower parts of Georgia there, and who had ever thought that I'd been a missionary?
Right.
But God knew. And none of my brothers, you know, I have one of my brothers is dead now, and the other, and he's far from God, lives over there in Asheville, North Carolina, and he has no desire for God, no desire to do the work of God, no desire for the Lord. And but out of those three, God took the smallest and the most insignificant, and called me to salvation, and began to work in my life, and began to form me as an instrument. And I tell you right now, I've not arrived. I don't say I've arrived. And third of all, we see here that not only the instrument has to be in his mind, but the master has to have the rough material. The material, as they say in Spanish, bruto. I mean, I'm talking about, you take a diamond. When they go and get it out of the diamond mine, it doesn't look like that beautiful diamond that's on the finger of your wife there. I mean, it's rough. It's black. It's, man, it's just, But in the hand of that person that knows how to cut it and form it, it becomes a beautiful instrument or a beautiful gem on the finger of our wives.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you right now, thanks be to God, He took us out of the diamond mine. He took us out of the forest. To make a grand piano, they have to have the best materials. But it has to be, first of all, it has to be cut down. And the person who knows what they're doing, they go into those forests where the material is to be selected, and they cut the trees down. I mean, they go in there and mark them. And I'm telling you right now, God goes through the land, and He marks people. And He begins to call them. And they fall those trees, and they cut them down. And they take them to all the place and begin to cut them into the shape they want them. And thanks be to God, He took us. And some of us are still kind of rough. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad that in the hands of the Master, He knows how to make us into an instrument for His glory and honor.
Amen.
Then, not only that, it has to be placed in the hands of an expert. The Master, the owner of the company, say Steinway Brothers, or the Hosendorfer company over there in Europe, or wherever it may be at, there's a Master that has designed those pianos. But then there's experts that take that material and begin to form it into a piano or into any instrument. And I tell you right now, thanks be to God for the pastors of the churches across the land of America and around the world that takes that rough material and begins to form it. I tell you right now, I know that when I was first saved, I know that I probably tried my pastor many a time. But I'm thankful that he saw in me something worth using for the Lord, the glory of God. It has to be in the placed in the hands of an expert. And not only that, but there has to be time to make that instrument. You know, it takes, on the average, it takes 1 year to make a Steinway piano or a Hosendorfer piano. 1 year from the moment they cut that tree down. They take that material and they place it in those kennels to dry it. It has to be dried to 5% moisture before they can ever start using it to form a piano. Oh, I tell you right now, it's a great process. If you ever get a chance, study it and look at it. I mean, all that they do to make that piano. Now, I tell you, it's not 1 year. A person says, I'm saved, I'm ready to go, I'm there. I tell you right now, you'll find out you're not there.
Right.
I went down to Mexico as a missionary. And I got down there and thought I knew everything. Man, I'm going to tell you right now. Well, thanks be to God, He put me in a man that knew I didn't know everything. And He put me in my place a few times along the way. If you knew my father-in-law, you can understand. He knew how to place you in your place, you know. They didn't call Him the Pharaoh for no reason at all. But I'm going to tell you right now, thanks be to God that He had patience with me.
Amen.
And I've been down there for 33 years there in Mexico. And been saved almost 40 years now.
Amen.
And I'm still not arrived yet. I'm still not arrived. It takes a year to make a piano, and it takes a lifetime to make a missionary or to make a pastor or an evangelist or a member of a church.
Right.
It doesn't happen overnight, friends.
Right.
It does not happen overnight. No, I thanks be to God for that instrument. My son plays the piano, and I guess that's the reason I got interested in studying about pianos. Because my son's playing piano, and I thank God for it, that the Lord has taken His hands and has used him. So I got to studying about the instrument. Second of all, for an instrument to be useful, it needs to be in the hands of one who knows how to play. I tell you right now, I can play a little guitar, but I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't nothing like a master that plays a guitar. It's nothing. I can play a little bit and plink along. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you put it in the hands of one of those great masters, and it sounds beautiful.
Yes,
oh, I tell you right now, David was the great harpist of Israel. And you know, when Saul was in his despair and going crazy as it would be, and the evil spirit would come upon him, and they knew they needed something, and they said, hey, let us look out someone to play harp and to drive that evil spirit away. And someone said, there is a son of Jesse.
Yeah.
His name is David. He's expert on the harp. Oh, I tell you, they didn't go out there and look for that person that didn't know how to play or knew how to play just a little bit. They knew they needed someone that was an expert.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, God, in the hands of our God, He can play us.
Amen.
He can strum us.
Yes,
and we can be something for His glory and honor.
Yes.
Or now the instrument is in the hand of the master. And we're in the hand of our Lord. And He can crush us. He can mold us and He can shape us the way He wants for us. And there's verses I could give you. Psalm 71, verse 22. It says right there that the instrument is in the hand of the master. Then this instrument belongs to the King David. You know, even after David died, that they were playing instruments that David had made.
Yep.
And I mean, they took those instruments and continued to play them. That was indicated that it was a great instrument that had been made. What made of inferior quality? It was made of great quality because it continued to be used even after David died. And not only that, but the third thing I like to note about the worth of an instrument. The worth of an instrument. You know, a Steinway is not as valuable as a Bösendorfer, but it's worth around $100,000. $100,000 takes a year to make. The Bösendorfer is worth $250,000. $250,000. They make them all over the place. They make them in China, they make them in Japan, they make them in different places in Europe. But the Bösendorfer is worth $250,000. The harp. A harp is worth around $21,950. The guitar is worth, the good ones are worth from $3,000 to $20,000. And maybe even more. I saw one time on the teller's website that they had a guitar in there. It was worth $100,000. Oh, it was beautiful. Beautiful. Had all this inlaid stuff on it and everything. I'll tell you right now, the value of a guitar, the value of a piano is, you know, and worth greatly. But then we see Proverbs chapter number 31 and verse number 10. I like this. Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. Talks about the virtuous woman. Virtuous woman. I tell you, if it hadn't been for the women down in Mexico many times, our churches wouldn't even be existent. I'll tell you that in the society down there where we were at, most times men do not want to come to the church. Because they're machos, and they think that Christianity is for feminine people or for ladies, you know. And if it hadn't been for the ladies, we wouldn't have many times a church. Verse number 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She is perceived. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. I tell you, how many of us pastors and missionaries and preachers would be anything today for the Lord glory of God if it wasn't for our wives?
Right.
I tell you, the Lord knew what I needed when he made me. He knew what I needed when it was time to have a wife. And I began to pray after God had called me to be a missionary. I began to pray for a wife. I had no idea where I was going to find her at. But thanks be to God, the Lord put a trip to Mexico. And I went on that trip and there she was down there waiting for me.
Amen.
Praying for a husband.
Amen.
That was a missionary.
Amen.
And God put us together there on the field. And we've been married 34 years now.
Amen.
Thanks be to God for the wonderful grace of God. And I want to encourage you, if you're out there today and you're not married, don't settle for second best. Right before this happened, I went to preach on Thursday nights at a nursing home. And I got so desperate about preaching. And I said to the Lord many times, if you don't give me a place to preach in just a few days, I'm going to deny that you've called me. But you know I didn't. Thanks be to God. And I said to myself, one day I'm going to have to find me a place to preach. So I went and I talked to a lady there at the church. And she said that, yeah, we could get you a place there to preach at the nursing home where I work at. And so I started going there. And in the process of preaching and going there on Thursday nights, I met this young lady that was visiting one of the ladies there that was from her church. And I began to see her. I began to talk to her. And she wasn't exactly what I needed. And the Lord knew that. And I got there one night on Thursday night. We were supposed to leave the next day on Friday. And I got there that night. And the lady that she always went and seen had a little letter for me. And I opened it up and it says, you know, I think it'd be better us not to see each other again because we've been fighting. We've been disagreeing on things. And so I said, well, that's the Lord's will. And the next day I went to Mexico and met my wife there.
Amen.
You know, the Lord knew what I needed.
Yes.
He knew what I needed. Thanks be to God. He knew I needed a instrument that had been formed under many times of pressure.
Right.
And doing without. I'm going to tell you right now, if it hadn't been for my wife, I don't think we'd have been in Mexico today. Because there's been times we didn't have everything we always thought we needed.
Right.
I mean, we didn't have more than beans and tortillas to eat. But I tell you right now, she had desire to be in Mexico.
Amen.
And it's hard for us to leave Mexico. It's hard to get her out of Mexico because she wants to be there.
Amen.
God knew the instrument I needed. And because of her, there have been times that I disagreed with her. But I'll tell you right now, she was formed under a father that knew what it is to suffer for the glory of God.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you, and that's the last thing about this instrument. Instrument has to be struck to be able to be produced, to produce the wonderful sound. They take those hammers over there that you see. If you'll go over there, when you strike that key, you look at those hammers. They take those hammers, and they begin to stick them with an instrument. What are they doing that for? They're doing it to make that sound. I mean, every one of those keys is struck individually.
Yep.
And makes that sound. They're taking a little thing that's got little prongs on it, and they're sticking them. They strike it, and they stick it a little bit more, and sometimes they have to shave a little bit off of it. What are they doing? They're making it, making those hammers to strike just right. God knows what we need. He strikes us. He sticks us. He is forming us. He is making us into that instrument for the glory of God.
Amen.
And I thank God today for the suffering that we have to go through. It's like the story. I know you've heard that about the young man that found what's those things where the caterpillars are in?
Cocoon.
I'm trying to think of it in Spanish. And he wanted to open it up and get the cocoon out, the caterpillar out of there. And he did. And what happened? The caterpillar died. And the father, in his wisdom, said to him, you know, what makes that caterpillar bright and beautiful and able to fly is the struggle of getting out of that cocoon.
That's right.
So many times today, missionaries want to go, don't have the suffering that missionaries used to have. I was telling this young man that just got through preaching, back when I first started, we didn't have GPS.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cell phones. My GPS was stopping at the local gas station.
Yeah.
Do you know where certain Baptist church is at?
Yeah.
I tell you right now, there's been many a time I couldn't find my place, getting there and getting all desperate and everything. But you know, all that is part of the glory of God and producing the instrument that the Lord needs is the suffering that we have to go through. And many times we want to take it away from our children. And we're doing them damage by taking away the suffering that they have to go through.
Yeah.
Are you an instrument for the glory of God today? Is God working on you today? Only the Lord knows that, and only you know that. And so, but realize that God wants to produce in you a beautiful sound for His glory and honor.
Amen.
Father, bless the reading of Thy Word. Bless the preaching. Lord, You know, Father, Lord, dear God, that we're nothing but just, dear Father, an instrument in Your hands.
Yep.
Play us, Lord, today. Make us sound for the glory of God. Make us sound that others might come to Christ. Lord, thank You today, Father, for all that You've done. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.